하나
From the Amazon basin, from the magnificent redwoods of California to the icy majesty of the Arctic, life on Earth faces an unprecedented threat from careless development. Join Terra Verde over lunch today to find out about the unfolding future of the planet.
Hello, I'm Michelle Chan Fischel, and you're tuned to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, or KFCF in Fresno. This is Terra Verde, a weekly environmental radio show. And today, as the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issues its fourth assessment on the science of climate change, more and more Americans are becoming aware of their carbon footprint and the idea of going carbon neutral by purchasing so-called carbon offsets is gaining in popularity. But there is also growing concerns about carbon offset programs. Can you really trust all carbon offset companies? And do offsets just allow us over-consumers out there to continue our wasteful ways by buying off some of our guilt? With us to explore some of these questions are Jessica Williams, Director of Communications for San Francisco-based Drive Neutral, and Bill Burtis, Communications Officer for Clean Air, Cool Planet. Welcome to Terra Verde, Bill and Jessica.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
Well, let's go ahead and unpack a couple of terminologies first. Bill, can you please explain for us what exactly it means to be carbon neutral or to have a goal of going carbon neutral?
Well, we at Clean Air, Cool Planet actually take a fairly broad view of what it means to be carbon neutral with all of the partners that we work with, which are corporations, campuses, and communities. We ask them really to begin with an inventory to figure out what their carbon emissions are and then work through a process of reducing the amount of energy they use, using that energy more efficiently, possibly fuel switching, which means basically looking for more carbon-free fuels like biodiesel or something like that in transportation, before they get to the stage of offsetting the remaining carbon in order to become climate neutral. We also ask that they do a variety of things in terms of educating the public and outreach, which I know is something that Drive Neutral does as well.
Yes, I think Bill's point of it being a broad definition is very important. And in fact, when you look at it for an individual, everything we do in our life on a daily basis generates carbon. So even if it's the way what you purchase at the grocery store and how long it took to get there and what transportation it took to get there, that's a carbon footprint. To be carbon neutral truly would be very difficult, I think, right now in our current situation. However, there are groups such as the folks who are trying to explore what a 100-mile diet might look like. That's taking them to a fairly extreme level of carbon neutral. And at Drive Neutral, we are trying to find ways to help people perhaps not be quite at that level of making changes, but starting to modify their behaviors. Just as Bill was saying, they're working with the institutions and organizations to do the same thing.
And really, we're going to be talking today about how individuals and households can reduce their carbon footprint. So even though lots and lots of stuff is happening maybe on a governmental, as well as on a corporate level, I'd really love to explore some of the options that are out there, because there are a lot of resources on the web that are really offer the ability to purchase offsets, which is what we're going to be exploring today. So, Jessica, if you could tell us a little bit about how offsets fit into this. As you mentioned, it's kind of towards the end, right?
Correct. I think all companies who are offering offsets really do say you need to start at first trying to reduce the carbon you're already generating, because it's simply a fact we're generating too much. And offsetting is a way to consider you're emitting a certain amount now, you've reduced as much as you can, but you still actually want to neutralize it, and so you're going to help support another project, another endeavor that in fact has neutralized, reduced, captured some carbon. And so in that way, you're offsetting, quote unquote. But we do always want to stress energy is the first thing you can look at. And so that people need to be considering how they can make their homes more energy efficient, how they can make their transportation endeavors more energy efficient. And then you mentioned consumption and consumerism society. The next level beyond that is when you start realizing the amount of products that we simply consume, the energy is needed to generate all of those products. So the less you consume or the more selective you are in what you're consuming, you actually can also be lowering your carbon.
And of course, a great deal of energy is also used in transporting those products. And this has become particularly an issue in terms of food, where we import, in order to have the fruits and vegetables that we have all year round, we're importing things from South America and around the world, all of which, of course, adds carbon to our footprint as we consume those products.
Right. And Bill Burtis, one of the things that you did last December, I think, is you put out a consumer's guide to these carbon offsets. So assuming that individuals have taken a lot of steps and have done what they can to reduce their existing energy consumption and are buying locally and trying to do that other good stuff, the consumer is actually faced with a rather dizzying array of different providers of carbon offsets. So give us a bit of an overview of who is out there and how they are different.
Well, we looked at about 30 providers, and there are more now, but we looked at the top 30 that existed at that time. And our goal, and this was primarily driven by the corporate partners that we work with, who came to us and said, where should we go? We need to offset this. We really want to do this. Where should we go? And so we commissioned this report, and we commissioned it because we, in fact, have a relationship with a company that is involved in offering offsets, native energy. So we asked Trexler Climate and Energy Services to do the report for us, and they spent about 3 or 4 months looking at this. And essentially what they did was to review the existing providers and look at how each provider rated against a set of 7 criteria. The quality of the offsets but how the providers, where they prioritized the offset quality in how they worked. In other words, how important was the actual quality of the offset to the organization that was offering the offset? How easy was it for the buyer of the offset to evaluate that themselves? How much of the operations of the provider was available to the public on a website or in an annual report or by questioning that provider? Looking at various technical aspects of how the offsets are derived, and on down into things like how much time the provider spent educating consumers about global warming. Were there other benefits that accrued in terms of environmental impacts as a result of these offsets? That might be something like, did it reduce mercury deposition as a result of offsetting or preventing electric generation from a coal-fired plant? And did they use third-party protocols and certification in certifying their offsets?
Okay. Bill, we're getting into some really deep detail, I think.
We
to
are,
a certain
and
extent.
I apologize.
Yeah. So why don't we just kind of bring it back to a little bit more of some concrete examples? I mean, how exactly do these companies make offsets or provide offsets? What are the underlying initiatives that or projects that are taking place? Because, if you go online, you can buy an offset for $4 or you can buy it for $40. Mm-hmm. So, Jessica, tell us a little bit about, what the different underlying projects for carbon offsetting can look like. How do they vary?
I think that's actually a very good question to ask in terms of how do the companies make offsets. And I'll definitely let Bill speak to specific types of offsets I know he's very familiar with. Because at Drive Neutral, we actually have a somewhat unique approach and concept for offsets in that we are focused on a business approach. We came out of a business school from Presidio School of Management, so we're really wanting to figure out, well, what are the business mechanisms that we can use to help address climate change? And so what we chose to do was participate in the Chicago Climate Exchange, which is a legally binding market in the U.S. that allows clean credits. When a company has reduced their carbon for 1 year, they have extra credits. They've reduced it more than they were planning to. They can sell those credits, and we in turn purchase them and offer them to individuals to support that transaction as a way of putting value to those clean carbon reduction credits.
So basically, with your participation in the Chicago Climate Exchange, you have you work with companies that have done good things in reducing their carbon footprint, and that is offsetting the quote-unquote bad stuff that a consumer may be doing in, let's say, deciding to take a vacation and fly to some other part of the world, right? That's kind of how the offsetting is occurring?
Correct. That's how the offsetting is occurring, but we really see it as a way for individuals to help participate in this concept of a supply and demand market. Because when we buy the credit, we're putting value and putting our money towards those companies and making it profitable for them to actually continue to reduce their carbon. Plus, we retire the credit, and that's the other key point. So now it is no longer available for someone who's polluting more and needs to buy it. That means the prices are going to go up eventually. That's the concept of the supply and demand. And we wanted to give individuals a way to support that market mechanism.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about carbon trading a little bit later. But I wanted to explore the other kinds of ways in which different carbon offset retailers end up reducing, providing these offsets, so to speak. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about the various ways from tree planting to, you know, to other other projects that you find underlying.
Sure. Well, the standard thing that people think of in terms of renewable energy, which is one of the chief sources of offsets, are wind power and solar power. Others are, of course, hydropower, biomass power, and that sort of thing. And the idea is simply that if you generate electricity using a source of energy, in the case of the wind or the sun, well, it's all really sun energy, but what you're doing is you are creating both electricity and you're creating offsets, in the sense that somewhere else, coal or oil in particular, are not being used to generate the electricity that's being generated by the wind turbine. So you've generated this commodity that is called an environmental attribute. So it's the cleanness of that power. So for every ton of coal-fired electricity that's produced and generates that ton of CO2, if you generate that electricity with wind, you've removed a ton of CO2. And it's that ton that becomes tradable, if you will.
Right. But wouldn't some people say that, hey, generating wind or generating solar power is a moneymaker anyway, so aren't they they're getting extra bennies, right, for doing
it
the
clean
way?
Well, they are getting extra bennies, but in a market where coal and nuclear and other energy forms, and certainly oil, are subsidized, have the plants that have been in existence for a long time and are probably paid for, versus the new market for renewable energy, where you've got new turbine facilities that are being put up, new solar arrays that are being put up, and other things that are not current enough and in popular enough demand to be subsidized with tax dollars. The revenue stream that's realized, the money that's realized by selling offsets, is a very important part. And in fact, in terms of offsets, we think the most critical part of supporting renewable energy.
So basically, by being able to make these environmentally beneficial attributes monetized, mm-hmm. and this is monetized by having people like us decide that we want to voluntarily offset emissions, it basically makes the good guys win out a little bit more over the bad guys.
Well, if you
if you want to call it good guys and bad guys. The clean guys.
The clean guys versus
yes.
the dirty guys.
Versus the dirty guys. Okay, good and bad in my book, I suppose. This is Terra Verde, weekly environmental radio show on KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno. Today we are talking about carbon offset programs with Jessica Williams of Drive Neutral and Bill Burtis, who is with Clean Air, Cool Planet. Now, Jessica, a little bit earlier we were talking about this idea of the Chicago Climate Exchange, and that there actually is a real exchange in the United States where it's mostly companies, but I suppose governments and others, who decide to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions in legally binding contracts, end up being able to either sell the credits that they generate, or are forced to buy credits to cover the additional emissions that, oops, they made. Tell us a little bit more. You had mentioned certification. So tell us a little bit more about, verification. Tell us a little bit more about how this is a very regulated market and what that all entails.
It is, in the U.S., it is a voluntary market. People may be familiar with one in the European Union. So here it is voluntary. However, once a company agrees to be a member and signs on, they are legally bound to meet the goals that they've set, and that is that there's an established baseline. And this is based on standards set by world organizations that the IPCC, as you mentioned in your introduction, have established, and that from that current baseline of business as usual, that company then is going to agree over the course of a certain amount of years to start reducing percentage by percentage point and get below that point each year. And when they go below, they get credits. If they hit the baseline, that's great. They don't have to pay, but they don't get any credits. So the credits they have to sell is when they actually reduce even more than they had said they would. And there is a company that audits them. It's the same company that audits and works with the Dow Jones Index. They're very interested in making this and continuing to work and making this as regulated and transparent and functional as possible. I think it's a good thing in that right now our government hasn't regulated this. When that happens, we will have at least some experience with figuring out how to make this market viable.
Right. And so this isn't regulated, but it is binding. It is legally binding.
Correct.
Right. And so what does it mean to retire a credit? Because when you buy a credit through Drive Neutral, your organization, you buy it and then it gets retired. How does that work?
Exactly. And I don't know that that's a term that other companies on the CCX would use. We use it to mean, and that's part of our legal commitment to our customers, to say we will never sell that credit again. Because theoretically, it is rather like a stock, a piece of stock or something that you can sell back to somebody else. When the price went up, maybe we'd want to sell it back. We will not do that. So we take it, we retire it, and our idea is to keep making the clean credits become more and more valuable by having less and less out there.
Right, exactly. So
that's actually a function that we provide for Native Energy, is to retire all of the credits for their offsets that are sold so that they can't be resold. It's basically exactly the function.
And I think that's the great thing about these offset companies that are able to allow individuals to come in, because really it's all of individuals. We don't want to be reselling this, so it does allow all of us to provide that retirement aspect, which a company would have probably a more difficult time justifying to its shareholders.
Right. But, Bill, one of the things that I was interested in reading your report is that, you know, not all of these carbon offset companies that you can, let's say, go online and buy offsets from, they're not really all created equal. And how is a consumer to really know that the reductions are occurring? So you go on a website and you say, wow, this sounds like a really, you know, it sounds like my $50 that I'm going to use to buy this, you know, all of my offsets is going to support these cool, you know, reforestation programs, or it's going to, you know, have these great, you know, renewable micro projects in the developing world. It sounds so cool, but how do we really know that it's really happening?
Well, that's certainly one of the difficult questions, Michelle, and the one of the big pieces of the necessity that we found for this report was, how transparent is the marketplace? How easy is it for the buyer to really figure out what they're buying. How easy is it to drill down and get to the project level and be able to say, ah, here's the wind turbine, here's the methane digester, here's the solar array. I can find out that it exists. I can perhaps even see it in operation. I can, you know, find out what my money has paid for. And depending on, I mean, reforestation, for instance, in the tropics is certainly a worthy way of reducing carbon in the atmosphere. We know that this is something that people can do and can do reliably. Whether or not you can actually follow your money to the forest and find your trees, so to speak, is another question. But I think many of the programs that engage in reforestation have made an effort and are making more of an effort now to find ways to sort of prove to the consumer that this is happening. There are companies that, for instance, will derive credits from things like solar cooking ovens in third world countries. There's no question that there is a value in terms of reducing CO2 in the atmosphere to those activities, but it's very difficult to follow that down to the place where it may be happening. So I think the consumers have to be willing to, in some cases, I think perhaps sacrifice some certainty if they are interested in a particular kind of do-good aspect of what a company is doing, or they're particularly attracted perhaps to reforestation. But do your homework and pay attention to where is that reforestation occurring. If it's occurring in the temperate zone, in other words, in northern latitudes, it may not be as viable a program as in the tropics. So what kinds of guarantees does a given provider offer that they can really tell you, here's where your money is gone. We can locate this offset for you and show that it's occurred and guarantee that.
And Jessica Williams, that's why there is sometimes such a big price differential between buying carbon offsets from different providers, right? Because there are different underlying initiatives and projects, whether it be the solar cooker, whether it be reforestation, or whether it be methane, et cetera.
Exactly. There's certainly many different offset projects. The offset companies all have different business models and how they function. Since Drive Neutral uses CCX credits, you can go to the Chicago Climate Exchange and you will see the starting point of what we're purchasing. We purchase only the current year vintage reduction credit, and there's that price to start with. And then, as Bill was saying, the solar oven company is going to have a whole different set of costs involved.
Right, but is there a correlation between there is no real correlation between, let's say, your $40 carbon reduction project actually being any quote-unquote better environmentally? Is there?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot. Yeah, people have very strong feelings about what type of activities generate what types of environmental impacts. And there's certainly, as Bill explained quite clearly, the reforestation, that has a role in affecting climate change. We're focusing on a particular area of, let's start sequestering carbon that's coming out of utility plants. That has a role in
exactly.
The climate change. So, and I think his point actually to perhaps people thinking about what really speaks to them is one aspect, and is one reason that we're a nonprofit. We felt like this is something, our mission will probably speak to people and the way we're approaching our mission. And then there are other offset companies whose approach may speak more to somebody. And
right.
So that's what you should consider.
And there are for-profit and nonprofit carbon offsetters.
Correct.
There are.
Yeah.
Yes, Native Energy is a for-profit company, which is engaged much more directly in actually constructing renewable energy facilities, chiefly wind projects with Native American tribes and small farm methane digesters.
So I think, and that's the beauty of a new product line, really. I mean, it's a whole new area. The challenge, of course, for consumers is they do need to look around, but they also have choices that can fit in with what else they're doing in their lives, perhaps areas that they're focusing on and working on, and they can match the offset ideally to fit where they want to put their energy and have their dollars go.
Exactly. So since we only have a couple of minutes left, Bill Burtis, I wanted you to give us a quick summary. What was the upshot of your survey? You looked at 30 offsetters. Actually, drive neutral is not one of them, so was not one of them that was covered in your report. Which carbon offset companies came out on top?
Well, the top eight that we came out with, I think it's actually perhaps better to look at the providers who scored well against individual criteria. But the company that rated best against the most criteria was ClimateCare, followed by a German company called Atmosphere and another company called Carbon Neutral. Remembering that this report was done last fall, and one of the things that happened almost immediately, and actually while we were doing this report, was that we had companies coming to us and saying, well, gee, now that you're asking us these questions, now that you're pointing out perhaps deficiencies or the importance of a website in explaining to our consumers what they need to know, here's what we're doing. We're making this change and we're making that change. So, but we did rank eight companies in the top realm, and those were ClimateCare, Climate Trust, CO2 Balance, Native Energy, Atmosphere.
Bill, actually, if you could just give us the website, because we have less than 1 minute left.
Oh, sure. It's you can get the report at www.cleanair, all one word, hyphen coolplanet, all one word, .org, and it's right on our homepage.
And that's www.cleanaircoolplanet.org. This is a report which ranks carbon offset providers online, not all of them. But Jessica Williams, if you could provide us a telephone number as well as website for Drive Neutral, that would be great.
The web address would be www.driveneutral.org, O-R-G. And the phone number is 415-581-1170.
That is www.driveneutral.org. The telephone number is 415-561-1170, and you're locally right here in San Francisco. So thank you so much, Bill and Jessica, for being with us, and to Erica Bridgman, our engineer. This show and others are available online at kpfa.org. Have a great weekend.